The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is Walmarting IT a good idea? Our guests for today's show are Rich Dukey, who is the Chief Information Officer from Boston Scientific. Good morning, Rich.
Hi, yes. Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Did I pronounce your last name okay?
It's Aducci.
Aducci. Okay, thank you. Now, we also have Tony Young, who is the CIO with Informatica. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Sanjog.
How are you, sir?
Terrific this morning.
Very good. So you see the fall approaching. I still see spring colors in Chicago, unusual weather. And hope things are going well at your respective ends.
They are, thank you.
Yep, likewise.
Great. So now the question here is about, in fact, the topic that we're going to cover here today is about Walmarting. And, you know, there's a negative connotation attached to it. While Walmart as an organization has reached great levels of success, and some people have been talking about some of the practices that may have been utilized, and they've tried to bring that notion to the utilization of IT. So as we all see that consumers have become very savvy in terms of what they should be paying, and they try to look for the next deal and squeeze the vendor who they're going to be buying the stuff from, they want them to give them very good discounts, etc. So now that's competitive pressures building up within the company, and now you want the business guys coming to you as IT leaders and say, we have to squeeze the penny further. Now, this has been happening, and it keeps on happening, and we are squeezing it more and more and more. Where would it end, and if there is a end light at the end of the tunnel, and what's the risk that we are riding all along? Rich.
Well, I mean, first, I would say a lot of this depends on the nature of your role and the services you're providing relative to the company's mission. So if your role is forward-facing, meaning you are providing services that are driving directly revenue, the investment profile and the nature of what you're doing may be different from folks who are really in more of a support mode. I think broadly, no matter what role you're in, clearly there's a trend that's been going on since the advent of computers to reduce the costs. Every technical innovation that's happened over the past 50, 60 years has in one form or another helped reduce the cost of computing and the cost of delivering information services to customers. That's same for my organization and every CIO's organization. I don't see it ever ending. I think that what we see, at least as a CIO, I see is that we have more arrows in the quiver that we can draw from to help reduce costs. In the early days, it was things like configurable software, client-server applications, and the movement away from mid-range and mainframes. You know, these days, cloud computing, software as a service, mashups, and some of the app services that you can build directly from providers are all things that give us all options that never used to exist. So there's, you know, kind of an endless, I see it really as an endless chase, right? There's always going to be pressure to reduce the costs of the services you're providing.
Tony, what is that you have experienced, and what is your approach to this whole cost cutting?
Yeah, I do agree with Rich. I think that there's industry specifics, and it's going to really depend, even organizational specific, in terms of the role IT has in the strategy of that business. So, you know, it will be situational dependent. If you're expecting IT to be very strategic in the growth of the company, it plays a core role. I think what you need to do is you need to be much more cautious in terms of how you treat the Walmarting of IT. In general, though, when we talk about just this concept of Walmarting, we've been doing more with less for the last several years. So I know that with the recent economic downturn, people were talking about doing more with less. But interestingly enough, I can't tell you what year I haven't been doing more with less. I think it's a general expectation that for all of us, we continue to optimize everything that we do to reinvest and to put our dollars back into where the strategy of IT belongs.
I think
so for many of us, it's this is just old hat. And as Rich said, with the technical evolutions that are continuing to occur in current days with virtualization, with cloud computing, master data management, people are continuing to look forward to just drive incremental value. The way I'd liken this is every year, and I use this analogy internally, if you think about just your own cell phone bill, what you might have paid 10 years ago to what you pay today to the services that you get and to what you're going to pay 10 years from now, they're going to be vastly different. And this is just a common expectation for all of us. I think you asked early on about risk. I think the biggest risk that we have is that people lose sight of what truly matters in IT, and they just treat it purely as a function of cost. You know, going back to our favorite IT villain, actually I respect his work quite a bit, is Nicholas Carr, when he says IT doesn't matter. I think that if you get into that mode of just driving out costs and losing sight of what is strategic about IT, that's when I think you lose that risk, or you create incremental risk to the organization. But ultimately, when you talk about this concept of Walmarting, I actually want my people to have this mindset in their daily job, and I want them to think like a service provider. If you can think about these service providers, why or how can they provide unlimited services, why can't we do the same?
I think just to build on that, Tony, and those are excellent points, when you think about our customer base, if you will, the people that we all serve as CIOs, clearly they've changed and evolved as well. Their expectations and what they're willing to accept or work within is different. I can remember 15 years ago, 18 years ago, when you're implementing SAP and talking about having to adopt things as is within SAP, well, that concept was really laughable at the C-suite. That was just not something that people were willing to accept. And over time, I think as you look at ERP, more and more ERP has become standardized and configurable, particularly in the areas that are tactical. I think, as Tony was saying, there are always going to be areas within IT that are very strategic where buying off the rack may really not be the right answer. And I think part of the job of the CIO is to work with the business to balance those out and make sure we're spending the incremental money in the right places to deliver the right results and if you will, shopping at Walmart where it's tactical and not as mission critical for the business.
No, the problem is not with doing more with less, but when you take this whole phenomena to the nth degree and it starts bogging people down, it becomes counterproductive and it you know, stresses people to like there's no tomorrow. That's when the problem is, and I think we are coming to that point, isn't it?
Well, I think people have been saying that since the first day when a stack of cards got loaded into a card reader. I mean, I think the reality is, you know, IT, and really it's not unique to IT. I mean, we think that we have a high-stress, high-pressure job, and we do. But, you know, if you talk to finance people, they would say the same thing about their role and the challenges they face every time there's a quarter close. Any of us that have dealt with a software salesman know the pressures that they live with. I mean, every organization has that, and really every organization is under similar pressure to do more with less. I think sometimes we get confused that that's primarily centered in IT, but I mean, I just don't know a peer of mine in any company that doesn't have those same sort of challenges.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing as Rich. For some reason, many of us think this is strictly an IT phenomenon, but as I look around my peers and I talk to people in other industries and other job functions, we're all trying to optimize everything that we do. And I think the way that the public markets work today, many of us are always, we have a strong attention to the top line and the bottom line, and that's just not of, it's just not restricted to IT. And I think one of the things you're asking, you know, how far do we go? Where do we run that risk? I think the challenge you have is as a leader in an organization, what you have to be cognizant of is just service levels. You've gone too far when you hurt the organization's productivity or you inhibit growth. That's where I think that you've hit that nerve where you've done the wrong thing. And this is something that I personally would consider that you have to evaluate on an annual or maybe half annual basis, where you're looking and understanding, you know, what are my service levels, how are they going, am I doing the right thing for the business? It's always a tough balance, and when you live in the world of IT, we all know that our demand far outstrips our supply. So you're always making these type of optimization type of decisions. And in some respects, when I think of the role of a CIO, I often will give the analogy, I feel like I'm a portfolio manager on Wall Street. I'm given this bucket of money. Every year I have to figure out how to actually take this bucket and optimize and do the most with it and get the highest returns for our shareholders.
Now, we have heard an old saying which says you don't save yourself to riches, you invest yourself to riches. So when we are looking at that mindset, would that be something that the IT leadership and the whole chain of command is following at the time when you are looking at the savings? Because instead of squeezing the penny, if you can introduce more top-line growth-related initiative, which more than offsets the lack of savings that you would have if you were to focus on more bottom-line savings. You see, I hope you're getting the point that I'm trying to make. Because if you look at the top line dollar growth, and if that more than offsets any savings that you would have invested discovering and then implementing, then you would be much farther off as a business, and people will love you for that as an IT leader.
Right. I think that the way I tend to look at my business, I kind of lump things in three broad buckets. There's initiatives that I have around growth, which is really, for me, top-line revenue. There's initiatives that I look at around productivity, which is anything that can drop to the bottom line. And then there's run rate, or keep the lights on. And the way I think about our business is I'm constantly trying to reduce that keep the lights on portion of my budget. And if I'm able to do that, what I'm able to do is reinvest those dollars back into those other buckets. Sometimes that requires me to actually give the dollars back to the business. But sometimes it's reinvesting.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and listen to Rich about what he has to say with respect to saving towards riches or investing towards riches or combination of the two, and where do we draw the line. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
As a Chicago-based IT leader, MC Plus A has helped hundreds of organizations to more effectively manage their information assets. Through premier partnerships with Google, ConnectBeam, and others, we're helping clients see strong ROIs in enterprise search, Web 2.0, and other productivity-boosting solutions. In these tough times, you need a partner you can trust, a thought leader with strong alliances and innovative solutions. You need MC Plus A. Visit us on the web at mcplusa.com. That's mcplusa.com.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back to Rich. Saving yourself to riches or investing, and if at all you are investing, where is that coming from? Is that from the savings that you made?
Well, it's a good question. I think a lot of times people do think about it as an either-or, and for us in my organization, and I think in a lot of organizations that I talk to, we really all try to view it as more of not an either-or, but really a portfolio decision. You know, you have a certain amount of money, just like any business, some of it has to go into reinvestment to continuing the operations that you have and making sure that they're reliable and up to date. In this, you know, in the technology world, much of what we do has a very short shelf life relative to a piece of production equipment or a new product that's been developed. So, you know, we have that continual challenge of making sure that we don't all wake up one day and be standing on a limb that's getting sawed off because you're on an old technology that you can only buy on eBay or maybe not even on eBay. I think, you know, the trick is to balance the need to make those investments, which many people want to defer, you know, year on and year out. So making sure that we don't look past those with trying to find opportunities to help the business reduce cost and also bringing new innovative ideas, which in some cases will also help reduce cost, or in other cases may generate revenue. And I think in our organization, that's something where we strive very hard to do every year, track those savings, and make sure as we're asking for investments that we're holding ourselves and our business partners accountable to having a real business case that's going to result in material value to the shareholders tied to every investment dollar, just as we would for a new product or a piece of production equipment.
So let's take a situation. Tony, we'll start with you on this one. And you talking to your executive management, say, you know what, I need that extra couple of dollars coming out of this bucket, which is known as IT. So then you go back and say, I'll get back to you. And then you look back and say, it's only so much I can do, and then come back and say no. Are there places where you are drawing the line, or you're saying, oh, you know what, I'm going to try it again, and you start on that, you know, joyous journey again?
Well, similar to what Rich was saying, we do look at the business case for our investments, and we do look at the return. It's interesting because there are sometimes, there are certain things that we do internally that are extremely difficult to put a value basis on it. I'll give you an example. If I went to you today and I said, you know, Sanjo, can you write an ROI for email for the company? Or can you put an ROI on the network? You couldn't do it. It's virtually impossible. You would know that you missed it, but I'm not sure how we would quantify it. I th- think that as a CIO leader, there are certain things that I look at, and again, looking out for shareholder best interest, there are times that I will make a decision. I will invest in things because I believe it is the right thing to do. So, for example, if I wanted to put in instant messaging or some other type of infrastructure, I may make those kinds of calls outside of my normal governance process because it couldn't be justified otherwise, but you know that it is the right thing to do. So you play this kind of interesting balance. Some things will absolutely go to governance, and we will look for those calls. But in some cases I do play the role of judge and jury, but in many cases, and I'd say in the vast majority of cases, I do defer to our executive committee in terms of evaluating some of these expenditures that we look at.
I think just with any other investment the company has to make, you know, in this particular area in our space, our job is to understand the value and the risks associated with making or not making investments. And in many cases, you know, we all have sort of an endless supply of demands that are placed on our organization. You know, I get asked all the time about when are we going to upgrade to the latest version of Office or this or that new technology. And it's really up to the IS organization in partnership with the business to really understand what's the real value here and what are the risks. We had a project not that long ago that was something the business wanted to wait another year on, but as we looked more carefully at it, it was going to put a significant part of our operation at risk if we deferred again. And so part of my role as the CIO is to also raise that awareness of that issue and have the discussions with the senior leadership to make sure they understand the risks that are at play. Ultimately, you know, companies are always dealing with scarce resource issues, and sometimes those decisions are out of my hands. But my job is to really adequately represent those and champion those issues and make sure that company's making a well-informed decision, whatever that may be.
So, Rich, the fact that we are looking, and Tony mentioned about shareholder interest, but then what about the partner's interest or vendor's interest or employee's interest? Because somebody is giving something without getting as much, because of which you are able to get more with less.
Yeah, and I think you've mentioned this a couple of times, but I don't really see it as that. You know, if you look 100 years ago, or maybe 150 years ago, before the dawn of the assembly line and industrial age, what an individual could produce was significantly less relative to what it is today. The fact that we can produce more is not because that person is working 100 or 1,000 times more than they were before. It's that the nature of the work and the automation of that work is different. I think that, you know, certainly the need to continually find ways to do more with less and to get more productivity out of IT investment and frankly, every investment that a company makes that's not limited to IT is probably one of the few constants in business that you can never look at. I don't know that that does harm to individual employees. If anything, I think that does benefit for all of our employees because it helps sustain a healthy company. And as a leader, that's part of my job to make sure that we are driving those efficiencies. I think on the vendor and supplier side, you know, it's also a test for all of us with our partners. You know, it's one thing to say we have a partnership. It's another thing to be able to work to solve business problems, which as much as some suppliers don't want to say it, sometimes involves how do we do more with less with you guys? And break out of a sometimes can be an entitlement mentality with suppliers that they get their 3, 5, 10% bump in, you name it, maintenance, software licensing, fees, every year. No one gives Tony or I a 10% bump every year just because we clicked another year off the clock. And so a lot of it is really changing the nature of the discussion to what are the business issues we're trying to solve, including doing more with less and finding better efficiencies and solving those problems jointly.
So, Tony, how would you have looked at this? Would you say that given that if nobody is losing, that means it's coming out of innovation? So is that the only key for any organization to keep doing more with less?
Well, I think when I look at this question, I think the fundamental tenet here is that we all have to add value to the value chain, and that's how we continue to progress forward. So even if I'm looking at shareholder value, I don't believe that I'm necessarily defeaturing an internal employee, to your question earlier. The way I look at it is we are all contributing to shareholder value because that is the main reason we are here. And so whether or not the person who sits at a desk in finance or in marketing is getting something that they want, it's a cost trade-off decision to the highest value activities. And because we're all on the same team and we're all rowing in that same direction, although that individual at that particular time may not feel it, it all is trying to contribute back into shareholder value. And so I don't believe that they're necessarily getting defeatured. I believe we're all on the same team trying to create the value. And as far as it goes for vendors, I think they're in the same boat where they also have to continue to add value to the value chain. And for them to continue to justify their existence and continue to thrive, they need to continue to innovate and drive incremental value that we are going to see as an organization. For all of us, you can use the terms do more with less. I mean, there's many ways that you can spin that statement. But in general, we're all creating value. And unless you're creating value, you're probably going to be obsolete in a short period of time. And that's just not for an IT function. That's actually for every function within that organization. And in particular to IT, I just think that our products have a shorter shelf life. And if I think back to what I learned in school to what I do now and the way that technology has evolved and changed, it's gone leaps and bounds forward. And there's very few things that I learned in school that I actually will use now in terms of technologies. So it's, for me, a lot of it just, it's a different perspective that we're all trying to create that value in the value chain.
I agree. It's not really a us or them sort of situation. I mean, if it were, business would not continue to evolve. It is part of capitalism. I think fundamentally for all of us, as Tony said very well, it's understanding your place in the value chain and being a player in demonstrating your value again and again. And that's it's not about how do we, take every penny out of somebody's pocket until they're bankrupt. That's not a win as a CIO when I have partners that go out of business. But at the same time, we all have fundamental realities that we have to solve to optimize how our companies are performing and how the value chains work. And part of that means that we have to go back and take hard looks at costs and efficiency and make decisions, not just based on what's empirically, technically pristine solution, but also on the realities of what's it going to cost to maintain that solution, what are the options to providing a lower cost alternative that provides similar services.
If you were to go ahead and poll your crew, just as an example, would you feel that, do you think that you will be able to expect the same type of clarity of purpose, and that we are trying to build that castle, which is going to become bigger and bigger, and we have to put same amount of effort, etc. So they are equally satisfied, and they are looking at that big castle being built. And their purpose is very clear, the way you are defining, because, of course, you are at the top there. All the way down, a programmer might be saying, my hours are becoming more grueling, or my nature of the job is changing every second day. So is that communication chain that clear today?
Well, I think that's a challenge for any leader in any role, is to keep that view of where we're heading and to keep eyes focused on our objectives. Without that, you see large turnover and challenges attracting the best talent for your organization.
So let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and basically see if we can explore the area where we want to do more with less and we want to keep these people satisfied. What are those tricks up the sleeves of the successful leaders, especially since it's an IT topic, about IT leaders, where they can keep these people satisfied and continually communicate, because there are problems in many organizations where they are not able to get ahead beyond a certain level, whereas other companies are doing, giving stellar performance year after year and doing more with less. So what is that secret sauce? Let's talk more when we come back. Please stay tuned.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.avol.com today. Avol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Avol delivers. To find out how Avol can help your company, visit www.avol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.avol, A-V-V-A-L, avol.com. Visit today.
As a Chicago-based IT leader, MC Plus A has helped hundreds of organizations to more effectively manage their information assets. Through premier partnerships with Google, ConnectBeam, and others, we're helping clients see strong ROIs in enterprise search, Web 2.0, and other productivity-boosting solutions. In these tough times, you need a partner you can trust, a thought leader with strong alliances and innovative solutions. You need MC Plus A. Visit us on the web at mcplusa.com. That's mcplusa.com.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for the Money Answers Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement, get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So let's, Tony, let's start with you on this one, is that if we were to go deep down and see which organizations are truly converting or giving a perception of this being a sweatshop along the chain of command and people are dissatisfied, they are also delivering more with less. And then there are other organizations who are keeping everybody satisfied, who are working as a team to make this happen, and life is good. So what is the difference? Is it the leadership? Is it the processes? Is it the people?
Well, I think fundamentally this comes down to the leadership of the organization and how you manage your shop. I can say that I've worked at some other places where, you know, they've been challenging areas, challenging places to work. And again, it really does come down to the leadership, at least in my opinion, of that group, of that organization. And, someone said to me once early on in my career, you know, people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And if you can carry, again, this is my own personal ethic, if you carry that philosophy in your daily work life, if you have the care and interest of your people, they will work extremely hard for you because they know that they're working for a person who has their best interest at heart. And I think that for me, that's what makes the biggest difference in an organization. So I can't necessarily say that, you know, my organization or that person's organization is working any harder or any less, but I think that the way you lead and manage an organization creates different levels of satisfaction. It comes down to also some very simple things and very simple leadership blocking and tackling that you apply to that organization. You know, are people being developed? And to the earlier question we were just talking about, I think fundamentally yes, we do our best. We have different types of meetings, different ways to trickle down, you know, the thought processes of shareholder value. But in some cases, there might be just that one programmer who his ultimate goal is to build his resume. And if we know that that's that person's motivation, we may be working and helping them with that motivation, provided that aligns with our company goals. But fundamentally, it's leadership.
Rich?
I couldn't have said it really any better. At the end of the day, for all of us, we're in IT, although we buy a lot of technology and plug it together to solve business problems. Fundamentally, our ability to deliver service begins and ends with people. Having the right people on the bus in the right seats, as Jim Collins would say, is fundamental. Attracting IT talent is hard in a good or a bad economy. The skills are very portable. The kind of the culture of technologists is one for portability. And so the challenge that Tony and I and every other CIO out there has is to have a compelling vision to really engage people in a fundamental mission that people buy into and want to be a part of. That's not easy to do. It requires a lot of attention, but I think all of us try hard to do that because we understand that that's a big part of it. It's not just what you're doing today, but understanding how does it fit together into the overall contribution for the company and ideally for broader interests as well. In my company, we make a lot of medical devices, and so for a lot of us, myself included, waking up every day knowing that something you're doing ultimately contributes to saving life is a very compelling mission for us. And so we work very hard to never lose sight of that, to stay in touch with our products, to understand our patients, and understand how IT always contributes to that.
And I'm sure, you know, a number of listeners would also be on the other side of the camp where they are not finding a very satisfied crew who is trying to go about the same mission, if you will, even if they have purpose, but something is falling through the cracks because of which the value is not getting delivered, or even if they're trying to do more with less, it's causing more harm in terms of goodwill and or partnerships or actually even profits in some cases. So is there something that these people who are tired warriors, if you will, at the top or the middle management or even as a programmer could be doing to turn the ship around? Rich?
Well, you know, I don't know that there's great, you know, single answers here. I think so many times people, individuals, view this kind of a question as, you know, sort of, quote, management's responsibility. And while I can appreciate that perspective, I think it's important for everybody to understand that really it's a joint responsibility. Individuals have to also take things into their own hands to express their concerns, to manage their own life balance. What's good for one person is not good for another. Some people don't do well working standard hours. They want more hours. They're driven. Other people are not and need breathers or not. Work-life balance with personal side comes into play. But these are all things that, as a leader, you try to have dialogues about and encourage, but also stress the important role the individual plays to raise their hand when they need help, to have conversations not just about that app that you're developing or that go-live, but also what's going on in your life, and do we have your role and your talents matched up right for your longer-term interests in your career? And, you know, if folks don't take that initiative, unfortunately, sometimes it's hard to help them. So I guess I would encourage people, and we try to encourage our people here at BSC, to also know that they have the opportunity to raise their hand and to take an active role in their own career as well.
Tony, what's the magic that you feel is missing in these companies where things are not going the way they want?
Well, similar to what Rich said, I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all answer, and if I did have that magic bullet, I might be a consultant today.
You'd be doing a lot of speaking engagements.
Yeah, I'd be a lot of speaking. So You said one thing though, which intrigued me, which is, you say, you know, people at the individual contributors levels are tired, mid managers are higher, the senior levels are high, are tired. The only one comment I would say for me personally, if the senior levels are tired, they probably aren't a great fit for that organization. Because we need, the senior levels are the leaders of the organization and they need to set an example. They need to be the role models for what the organization needs and must do. But otherwise, real similar to what Rich said, it's a lot of it comes down to basic leadership blocking and tackling. You know, do people have the right job descriptions? Are they in the right fit? Do they understand, you know, are we helping them build their skills in those right areas? You know, one of the things that I see in IT, and we talk about it in our group here at Informatica, is that IT folks are notorious for working for the industry, not for the company. And the way I try to look at it here and the way we describe it to our, to the leadership here is, how do you make the people here work for the company, not for the industry? And just changing a little mental mindset. And if you're working at one of those companies where the IT organization feels like it's a sweatshop, I think that's going to be a really unique situation for each in each case, and I think there is no one-size-fits-all answer.
Now, there is also an entity which gets their eyes lit up whenever you say, I want to save some money, which is procurement. And they are not truly reporting to IT. So here your influence management skills come into play. And on the other side, they have a straight, you know, they have a mindset usually to not have the IT leadership get involved when they are trying to haggle with the suppliers. How do you feel you can have a good supplier who acts as a partner when you have such relationship tussles going on and with the influence management is to be brought in because they don't really report to you because they would not follow your strategy of keeping everything in balance?
Well, part of it is working with procurement to make sure that we have mutually shared objectives here. All too often what I can see is that I personally want a win-win relationship with my partners because if I have a win-lose anywhere, I win, the partner loses, ultimately that's a lost relationship. And then when there's that time that comes when I really need that partner or that vendor's help, I may not get exactly what I want in the end because of how we eroded that credibility or that relationship in the beginning. So for me, working with procurement, a lot of it is about making sure that my objectives are clearly understood and that we have a meeting of the minds in terms of how we want to manage the relationships externally. Because to me, procurement is not just representing the company, they're also representing our organization and our overall best interests, and those have to be aligned.
Let's take a quick break, listeners, and we'll be right back and talk to Rich about the procurement side. And another question which I'd like to add on, would you, given a choice, while I don't want anybody to lose their jobs, take on even IT procurement function under your umbrella in order for it to be most effective and you not being branded as Walmarting IT? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
As a Chicago-based IT leader, MC Plus A has helped hundreds of organizations to more effectively manage their information assets. Through premier partnerships with Google, ConnectBeam, and others, we're helping clients see strong ROIs in enterprise search, Web 2.0, and other productivity-boosting solutions. In these tough times, you need a partner you can trust, a thought leader with strong alliances and innovative solutions. You need MC Plus A. Visit us on the web at mcplusa.com. That's mcplusa.com.
Self-leadership is more important than corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in self-success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So talking about IT procurement, of course, we have to have a good relationship, but then there is a time when IT procurement wants to take over, and then they want to look at only one objective, which is to maximize the savings. And that could sometimes not bring the best results with respect to the relationships and partnership with those suppliers that the IT leader wants to have. And then IT procurement doesn't want IT leaders to be as involved because that might bring some emotional influence in there. So how do we handle this where we are not allowed to build partnerships at the level that we want, at the same time we want to have the most savings if we can get? Rich.
Sanjay, it's a good question, and like many things in IT, it's a question that's probably been around longer than IT has been around. As I look at it, we don't really view it as one or the other or kind of either or. We've partnered with our procurement organization in many areas and driven some very significant savings. Things that, seem like there may not be real opportunity, simple things even like cabling or storage or many other things, can drive some real significant savings, and procurement organizations are fantastic at negotiating and bundling and gaining leverage that honestly a lot of IT organizations that don't look aggressively enough at. So I really think it's forming the right relationship with your procurement organization, challenging both sides to look at where can procurement add the most value for it and engaging them in those areas. I think that's very important. I think sometimes people get confused that procurement and IT are on separate agendas. And in fact, there are some differences in what motivates one group versus another relative to a supplier decision. But, ultimately we're working for the same company. The outcomes are very important for both. And so it's really finding the right areas where procurement can add a large amount of value and welcoming them in and getting them engaged, I found to be very important. I can't say enough that we've seen some very good saving stories by engaging procurement in many areas in my shop that I think left to our own devices would have been very difficult to go get on our own because either we didn't have the right relationships or because the effort of aggregating them, we weren't as good as procurement was in doing that aggregation. There are other areas that are more strategic where, where procurement plays less of a role on the front side and may be providing coaching or engaging in other ways.
Tony, would you have a way to get to eat the cake and have it too with procurement, so that you safeguard the partnerships all along and get the best bang for the buck?
Well, one of the things that we look at are on an annual basis, we kind of classify our vendors, and there are certain vendors that we look at that we want to have that tight partnership with, that we look at as having a strategic relationship with, that are core to how we do our business. And then there are other vendors that to me, they're much more commodity-type products. So Rich had mentioned that they've done well in cables and storage. And I would personally look at those for our organization, saying those are much more commodity-type products. And I think one of the ways that I draw the line here is that I personally want to be involved in the relationships with those vendors that we have that tight coupling with. Because, again, when there is an issue, I need them to have my back, and I need to be able to work tightly with them. On the other hand, you know, procurement serves a terrific function for companies, and they're there for a real legitimate reason. And it comes back to way earlier comments about that value chain. Some of the commodity vendors need to continue to contribute value, and candidly, they do compete at a commodity level, and the procurement does a very good job of negotiating on those commodities.
Are there areas in this whole process of saving and doing more with less where you see that there would be a backfire effect, Tony?
With the vendors in general, or
do it? I mean, there may be certain specific instances, because there has to be, not of course, you cannot just go and generalize this.
Could I maybe suggest one to kick off the discussion? I think as a CIO, one of the things that's always a struggle for myself and for everyone, really, I think that I talk to, is the continuing investment side. Because of the obsolescence rate in our marketplace, many organizations struggle with investing enough in continuing operations, and so the constant pressure of I need something new, so let's wait another year can be sort of a seductive thing that can get you into trouble long term. And I think as CIOs, one of the challenges with do more with less is to make sure you don't take your eye off the off the ball around continuing operations. I think you've said, Sanjal, a couple of times the other area that I would cite, which is around supplier viability. You know, some suppliers, like it or not, that you're dealing with are on tough financial straits. And so as you're negotiating, even though you can get sometimes better deals than you ever could imagine, it's balancing that with some of your suppliers to make sure also that that deal is not going to put them out of business and ultimately put you in a position where you have to own source code you didn't create and don't really know.
Tony, what have you seen? What would have some of the areas where people better be careful?
Well, I'll kind of build upon what Rich's last comment there, and it's something I feel pretty strongly about. It's as we quote unquote Walmart IT. You know, when you think back in our history, you know, from the days when we used to write code to today we integrate, to just how we've evolved the organizations in general. I rely very heavily on my partners for innovation. I'm really looking towards my vendor to advance their roadmap so I can take on those innovations. I don't have that amount of staff to go out and innovate in all areas. So I can tell you that one of the areas that I'm extremely concerned with are these mega vendors. You know, I can look at Oracle. They've done 56 acquisitions in 4 years. Microsoft, 79 acquisitions in 5 years. IBM, 60 in 5 years. And I look at those products and I look at how they operate their business at a very profitable level, yet it concerns me because I don't see the pace of innovation coming out of the vendor. So on one side, I know that they're very stable vendors. But the challenge I see is I see just innovation coming to a screeching halt. But on the very far left, you have these startups that can innovate, yet they're somewhat there. You have to be very mindful of their financials and their long-term viability. So somehow you have to play the sweet spot as a CIO to make sure that you're partnering with the right people in the right areas that continue to innovate, yet you know that they're going to be viable long term. It's kind of an interesting transition in our industry right now, where how do you actually manage the innovation of your business when you don't control all the innovation? You're trying to add value and you're trying to do it at low cost.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Rich and Tony, for sharing your thoughts about is Walmarting IT really a good idea? So there is no doubt about this mantra about doing more with less, and it requires us to get creative and figure out ways to optimize how IT is used and managed. However, we need to draw a line at some point, and there may be places where it might backfire. So are there areas where you feel your executive management or business is asking you to further squeeze IT for dollars and you want to say no? What are those areas and why are you saying no to it? Please send us your thoughts to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjay Gaul, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjay Gaul next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.